Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Stewart. We've just been speaking with acclaimed literary translator Jennifer Croft, who translated the hotly anticipated novel The Books of Jacob by Polish writer Olga Tokarczuk. But there are so many other amazing works of translated literature that were published last year and many more set for this year. So let's have a review preview. Review preview is when we invite someone in the know on the show to help curate some of all that content that's out there in the world. Here to walk us through some interesting and recent and upcoming translated literature is Corinne Siegel, a senior editor at Literary Hub and a big fan of international literature. And full disclosure, my former colleague at PBS NewsHour. I'm so happy to speak with you, Corinne.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice, Allison. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm not sure how I'll be doing on some of these names, but I'm going to do my best. So that's my other disclosure.
We're both doing our best.
Okay, one of the big surprise hits of last year was the memoir, The Copenhagen Trilogy, a new compilation of three separate memoirs from the late Danish writer Tove Ditlevsen. It was named one of the 10 best books of the year by the New York Times. The New Yorker described it as romantic and spiritually macabre. What are these about?
Yes, so this is a collection of three memoirs by Tove Ditlevsen. She's a Danish author who was born during World War I and grew up in a working class community in Copenhagen. So the first two memoirs were translated by Tina Nonelli and released by Seal Press in 1985. The first one, Childhood, describes her earliest days with her mother, her father, and her brother, and her sort of childlike explorations of the world. You know, we see her start to form her first impressions of things, start to use language, experiment with language, and also begin writing poetry because she was one of those people. You know, she began writing poems when she was 10 years old and was always very imaginative, had this very, very creative outlook on the world. But naturally, you know, growing up when she did and in a pretty traditional community, she was expected to follow a certain kind of family-oriented path. And it's in the next book called Youth where we see her start to really reckon with that and figure out what that means for her, and especially for her professional ambitions as a writer. You know, she begins to build an independent life, holding a few different jobs, but at the same time really single-mindedly pursues this dream of having her writing published. So those first two books, again, are being re-released here along with a third that's being released in English for the first time and was translated by Michael Favala Goldman. The third is called Dependency, and it's there that things turn a lot darker for the author. Without saying too much, I can tell you that the book begins with her as an adult. She's navigating different romantic relationships and, you know, also exploring her new career, but then also it eventually follows her path into drug addiction. But I will say it's not just the story of her addiction. This book is also about power dynamics between human beings, how, you know, abusive relationships form and develop, and also how we form different kinds of dependencies on other people and on substances, and, you know, both ones that help us and those that hurt us. The last thing I wanted to say about this book is just that the last part of it, Dependency, is very difficult to read. A lot of people describe different reactions to it. You know, I read one reviewer who said she basically had to put it down and walk away a few different times. I had the opposite reaction. You know, I was sort of frozen in one place. I feel like I didn't look up. I didn't breathe until it was over. But it's just, it's so worth it. It's really gripping, very moving. I definitely recommend it.
You were also recommending Slipping by Mohammed Kerr. And it's interesting because this book is rooted in the very real world of post-Arab Spring Egypt, but also has fantastical elements as well. How did they come together?
Oh, yes. It's so imaginative, so beautiful. I have to say, this book really broke a streak for me of not being able to concentrate on reading, which for me was sort of unusual and a big problem. Yeah, last year I was having a lot of trouble sort of sitting in one place, if that makes sense. And this book, it picked it up and it was so unlike anything I had ever read before. I really couldn't put it down. So this is the first book by Mohammed Kerr to be translated into English, and I hope that many others follow. You know, it was published last year by Two Lines Press. So the narrator is a journalist in post-Arab Spring Egypt, like you said. He's pursuing a story on some of the country's most obscure places. And his guide is this man who was a former exile who has returned and has special knowledge and access to those locations. So that's where the fantastical elements kind of come in. You know, every different scene, something unexpected happens to these two characters. They all give you something very vivid and unforgettable about this setting. And I have to say, too, that the, you know, these elements, you know, the way that these two characters navigate the world, there's also in all of this a sort of social critique of post-Arab Spring Egypt and a political critique as well. So without saying too much about it, I will just say that these, you know, those elements come into the narrative in kind of unexpected ways, and it's surprising throughout. So I, you know, it was a really, really good read.
That one is called Slipping by Mohammed Kerr. My guest is Corinne Siegel, senior editor at Literary Hub. Corinne has made a lovely list of translated literature you might want to check out. I also want to mention that the full list of recommendations will be on our website at all of it, WNYC. You also loved An Apprenticeship or The Book of Pleasures by a Brazilian writer named Clarice Lispector. It is translated from Portuguese by Stephen Tobler. She's been one of those authors over Goodreads. Her fans, they're ardent. Let's put it that way. They use words like dazzled and intimate and prophetic. Is it a romance?
You could say that. I would say yes, yes. One way to say that is yes, it's a romance. I think it's also, you know, she asks such broad philosophical questions throughout her work and inspires this very, like you're saying, this sort of cult, very devoted following. Because, you know, in this book in particular, there are these two characters. The first is named Ulysses, a little on the nose, you know, he's a philosophy professor. And also Laurie, who's a school teacher. The two of them are drawn to one another, but they're not quite sure of how or when to become romantically involved. They sort of circle each other throughout the book. And I, you know, no spoilers, obviously, but I will say that most of the book is comprised of them essentially asking each other the question, are we able to be involved with one another? Are we able to commit to one another? Are we, you know, what are the qualities that make a person able to fully receive love? And so, you know, just your typical light romance story. But I'd say this book is it's a great introduction to her work. It's a great, you know, it's a great example of the way that Clarice Lispector really takes all of these sort of internal questions that maybe even we don't know how to fully define ourselves, and she forces them all to the surface. She sort of turns all of these hesitations and uncertainties that go along with being alive and especially becoming involved with a new person. She just turns all of those inside out and forces us to look at them in a lot of detail and ask those questions of ourselves too. So it's a very beautiful story.
The next one is fascinating to me because it is an author that many people will recognize the name as Jhumpa Lahiri, but she wrote this novel Whereabouts in Italian and then self-translated into English. Okay.
Yes.
Many questions. Many questions here.
Yes, it's such an interesting project. You know, in the last few years, probably going further back than that, actually, she's completely immersed herself in the Italian language and has just written and spoken really beautifully about what the Italian language has opened up to her, the new possibilities for the way that she can tell stories. And I know that, you know, Jennifer Croft, who you were just talking to, was talking about what a difficult endeavor self-translation can be. So I think it's all the more interesting to look at this book in that context because, you know, she translated it. She wrote it, like you said, first in Italian, where it was called Dove Mi Trovo, and then translated herself in order to release it last year. The narrator of the novel is a woman who's living alone in a city where she's largely estranged from those around her. And, you know, it's really the story of loneliness in urban life. But on top of all of that, you know, just thinking about other languages and about translation, it's interesting to me how much the mood of this book mirrors the experience of navigating the world in a new language. You know, if you've ever done that before or even tried, it feels sort of muted, like there's something under the surface that the narrator is unwilling or not able to express. And that's an experience that anyone who has, you know, been alone in a new place or been alone in a new language, you know, can really resonate with, I believe.
What an interesting layer to add.
Yeah, it is. And it's sort of, you know, it makes you think about this kind of third space that translated books inhabit. You know, they're between languages, and it's something that a translator really, you know, they do the job of interpreting a writer and interpreting a story, but also bringing us, you know, the reader into that space between languages where we can appreciate, you know, navigate it in our own while appreciating some elements and rhythms from another. So I think that this book is a great example of that kind of work.
My guest is Corinne Siegel, senior editor at Literary Hub. We are talking about some translated literature you might want to check out. Let's look at some of the books to look forward to this year. We just spoke with Jennifer Croft, as you mentioned, translating Polish writer Olga Tokarczuk's 2014 novel, The Books of Jacob. This is on so many must-watch, must-read lists. What makes you particularly excited about this?
Oh my gosh. Well, so Olga Tokarczuk is just an extraordinary author. You know, she really, her books are just known for, you know, approaching these topics that are just vast in scale, these kinds of broad histories and broad communities that surround them. But I think that what's so unique about this book, is that, well, first of all, she, you know, researched this time period for many years and the people who were involved in it. Many of the people in the books of Jacob are real life historical figures, including Jacob Frank, who I know you were talking about, you know, with Jennifer Croft. So she really builds an entire world around these characters. You know, we're seeing them deal with this sort of episode in history, in religious history, but we're also seeing them inside their homes, you know, the dynamics of their family relationships, how they make their everyday decisions, and also how they grapple with these kind of broad, very affecting spiritual and moral questions, some of the most complicated ones that human beings ever face, you know. This book is really a whole world. I think that it's a great fit for anyone who's interested in historical fiction, of course, you know, especially anyone interested in Eastern European history or Jewish history. But honestly, reading a book like this, you come away with a deeper understanding of how people affect one another, sometimes in unexpected ways, and how every one of us can change the course of history.
Another book that you have on your list here, Portrait of an Unknown Lady by Maria. It's Spanish, so I'm going to say it's Gainza, and it's translated from Spanish by Thomas Bunstead, and it's about a successful art forger.
Yes, this is such a great story. So Maria Gainza is an Argentine writer and art critic, and you can really see that experience on display in her work. You know, Thomas Bunstead translated this book as well as a book called Optic Nerve, which was published in 2019 and was her first book to be translated into English. So this story is about a young woman who gets kind of caught up in this art forgery circle and becomes obsessed with finding one of their members who produced a number of successful forgeries before she sort of withdrew from society. But I would say that this is a really good one for following, you know, anyone who's interested in sort of crime-related stories. That's super fun. But also there's a lot of kind of art world intrigue in this book. It's suspenseful. At the same time, it really gives you this kind of critic's eye on the hypocrisies of the art world. So if that's, you know, something that you're interested in learning a little bit more about, you know, the workings of the art world, both good and, you know, sort of the darker elements of it, people who can profit from, you know, sort of vulnerabilities in that world. I think that it's a really interesting read for all of those reasons. And also just very atmospheric and fun, you know, learning a lot more about this world.
That's called Portrait of an Unknown Lady. All right, we have 1 minute left. I'm going to say dealer's choice. What book would you like to talk about?
Oh my gosh. Okay. I will talk about The Employees. This is a really good one that's coming up. Really interesting and different from anything else we've talked about by Olga Ravn, translated from the Danish by Martin Aitken and published by New Directions. It basically follows a book follows a group of humans and humanoids that are living and working on the 6,000 ship as they catalog the objects that they retrieved from a planet called New Discovery. So it's a, you know, very otherworldly story. They're sort of moving between different narrators, and each of those, you see them start to question themselves, each other, the nature of reality, what they're looking at. You know, it's a very little bit fragmentary. It's very interesting to try to follow, and it asks important questions, you know, about what makes up human consciousness, and also, you know, critiques the kind of corporate language that can, you know, make its way into our lives sometimes without us knowing. So it's very funny. It's very interesting. I definitely recommend checking this one out too.
That's The Employees, a workplace novel of the 22nd century. My guest has been Corinne Siegel, senior editor at Literary Hub. First of all, thank you so much for creating this list for us, and it's so great to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me, Allison.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.